Book of Job, chapter 42 this morning. Book of Job, chapter number 42. Daddy will tell you one of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Job. And I love the book of Job. It's an intimate account of a man's life and things that he dealt with. And this morning I found peace back in the earlier part of the week when we were studying for Wednesday night's message to preach out of Timothy, where Paul wrote to Timothy that Demas had forsaken him. And I began to study and begin to look through these things, and God impressed my heart. I've got some more messages out of the book of Timothy, but I believe it pleased the Lord we went this way this morning. Book of Job, chapter 42. If you found your place, I'll ask you to stand to your feet this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Book of Job, chapter 42. Notice in verse 16 and 17, the very ending of the book. That's where I want to focus at this morning, out of the Job chapter 42, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died, being old and full of days." Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time, this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I realize this morning I'm not worthy, Father, to call on your name. And God, I realize this morning I'm not worthy, Father, to be in this place. But Lord, by your mercy and your grace, God, you've given us this opportunity to stand and proclaim the bread of life to your people. God, I pray this morning that you'd forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And Lord, things that we may have should have done that we didn't. Lord, I pray that you'd cleanse our hearts this morning. God, I pray for this message, God, that you would give us unction from heaven above. God, that you would speak through us what thus saith the Lord. God, I pray that maybe this will encourage somebody, Father, to go another step forward. God, it may, Father, bring salvation to some lost soul this morning. God, I pray that you would get the glory from all that's said and done. Lord, I pray that you'd hide us behind the old rugged cross. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's children said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. Book of Job, chapter 42. We see this has come down to the very end of Job's life. And we see the story of Job, and we see how his friends have treated him. But this morning in Job, chapter 42, verses number 16, 17, there's one part of that verse that I want to focus on this morning. The Bible says in verse number 16, "After this." Now, I don't know if you understand what that is meaning in its entirety this morning, but by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you on that subject, after this. Do you realize this morning, for everything that has a beginning, there is an ending. For everything that, as the sun come up this morning, there will be a sunset. For every season, there is a beginning, there is also an ending. And for everything that happens in our life, there is a starting point and a finishing point. We see in the first chapter of the book of Job that Job was a man from the land named or land of Uz. And Job was a righteous man, and Job was a wealthy man. And I've done some calculation here. Job had seven sons and three daughters, which resulted in 10 children. Job was the proud owner of 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 5 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses. And the Bible specifically says he was the owner of a very great household. I believe you and I could describe this morning as Job being a wealthy man. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, Brother Junior, we would say that he was a respected man in the community. For if he owned 7,000 sheep, he must have owned several acres of land that those sheep would graze upon. If he had 3,000 camels, he had a lot of servants that tended to those camels and brought water to those camels. And a very, might I say to you this morning, just on our terms in America today, he probably had a great big old barn that he kept these animals in. And if he had those 3,000 camels, he had 500 yoke of oxen. And so I believe without a shadow of a doubt, Job was a great farmer. I believe he had land that he tilled. I believe he had crops that he grew. And I believe that he had men and women that served him. And I believe Job took very good care of them. And for Job to have a very great household, I believe that Job, Brother Odin, had a very nice home. I believe that he had a very nice laid out home, and that when people come by, there were probably some that may have even coveted the things that Job had, or maybe they even envied what Job was in possession of. But we see in Job chapter number 1, as the sons of God were talking, that the devil, Satan himself, the enemy of mankind, the enemy of God, came before God. And God said, have you tried my servant Job? And he's one that escheweth evil. He's a righteous man. And the devil said, well, he said, if you'll remove your hand from him and let me touch him, he'll look at you and he'll curse you. Well, the devil, we know, went forth. And in one day, Job lost all 10 of his children. They were in the eldest home eating and feasting. And all of a sudden, the enemies around the land came and carried or burned his sheep and carried his camels off and took his yoke of oxen and his she-asses. All that Job had lied in waste. All that he had worked for his whole life. No doubt Job had lost everything he had. I would be encouraged to say this morning. Job probably had a very pleasant life growing up. Job's children probably didn't want for anything growing up. I might imagine it would be like one of our wealthy farmers in this county or in this area or down east from here. Their children probably didn't want for anything. And they probably had very nice meals at home. And Brother Junior, the kids probably didn't have to do anything, for there were servants and maids throughout the house. And we would say, boy, Job's life, he had it made. But you know, as quickly as Job had earned that over the years of his life, as hard as Job may have worked to acquire those things, in one afternoon, all that Job had was gone. In one afternoon, all that Job possessed, all that he had in his hands, all of his great wealth, who made Job who he was, had vanished from his hands. Could you imagine at one time losing all your children? I mean, all 10 of his children were good children. Obviously, Job prayed for them, and Job encouraged them, and they were a tight family. They stayed together. All the kids got along in fellowship. They could go down and sit down in a house together and have a meal and have a feast and have a good time. All the happiness in Job's home was gone. His 7 sons and 3 daughters died in one afternoon. And I believe without a shadow of doubt this morning that would be enough to drive any man crazy this morning. It would be enough for you to sit down and weep and mourn and grieve and have all the hard thoughts of life that your children are gone. And then all that he lost his sheep, they were burnt. All the money and the financial means that he had in those sheep, they were dead. They were gone. The camels were stolen out from underneath him. The she-asses were gone and the oxen were gone. All that Job had in this life was gone. And Job sits there and Not a doubt in my mind, Job would have been easily to look at God and say, God, why did you do this? God, you've blessed me all these years. Why would you dare come into me now and take all that I have? And then we see chapter number 2 rolls around and Job is there already weeping. And it says again on another day or again the next day or whenever. We don't know if it was a year. We don't know if it was 4 days. But Job was touched by the devil again. And we see that God had instructed the enemy that he could not take his life, but he could touch his body. All of a sudden, within a matter of just a few days, Job's lost everything. He's lost all of his financial means. He's lost his home. He's lost his children. He's lost all of the land that he really desired and that he had. And now Job's health is failing. I don't know about you, but I've heard those bulls during that time were pretty bad stuff. I know what it's like, Brother Ryan, when I have poison oak and it swells up and the bumps on my arms, Brother Chuck, they itch and you just want to scratch it. And we know that Job scraped them with a potsherd and we know that they were painful. And I don't know about you. How many of you ever had a boil before? Anybody? Hey, man, some of you have. How many of you ever been told to take a raw tater and tape to it? Hey, man, fat back, all that other stuff. And you get told not to mess with it. You imagine how sore that was to be covered from your head to your toes. I had something happen in the past couple weeks that I've not had happen since I was a young teenager. I had a pimple tie right there on the inside of my earlobe. And I've not had one of those since I played football. And man, that thing swelled up. And Paul, just to touch that ear, it was sore. I mean, I wanted to fight. But could you imagine being covered in your scalp, your face, your neck, your chest, your back, your sides, your arms, your legs, your feet, every bit of your body was covered in those bulls, festering and sore and oozing and begin to penetrate down into the tissue. I'm going to say this right here. Job was a miserable man. I believe you'd agree with me on that. Job was absolutely a miserable man. I mean, Job had started out in life on a great journey. Job had started out in the right direction. He was one that feared God. He was one that reverenced God. He was one that sought God's face. And all of a sudden, everything he had was gone. Lost his health. Lost his family. Lost his servants. It would be easy for Job to sit there and say, God, if you loved me, and God, if you cared about me, why in the world would you let this come upon me? And God, if you really thought highly of me, why would you destroy me down to a place that I'm at? We see in chapter number 2, there was a statement made from his wife. Job's wife says, are you going to hold your integrity? Are you going to hold this face? Are you going to hold this solitude? Are you going to hold this thought that God's still good and God's still righteous? She said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Now, I love my wife. I'm going to be honest with you. But I believe that'd be heartbreaking for a man, for his wife to look at him. So why don't you just turn on God? You've trusted in Him. You've put your faith in Him. And look at where it's got us. This morning, I believe without a doubt, there's some Christians looking at God and they're cursing God because maybe something in their life has happened. They don't understand why. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I studied on this message earlier in the week. And Wednesday night when I got done preaching, Anna told me, she said, honey, she said that was one of your better messages I've heard. And I thought, hallelujah. I put $5 back that time. But I began to study on these thoughts, and I had no idea in the direction my life would take, or the direction her life would take, or the grandparents' life would take in the past week. But might I say to you, through it all, God's still good. And no matter what comes our way, God is deserving of our honor and our glory. Job was at a place in his life of flatness. He was at the very bottom looking up. Some of you this morning have been at that place. Some of you have been diagnosed with cancer, and it felt like you could say in yourself, why would this come upon me? Why would this happen to me? I'm a good person. I do these things. I do those things. But to have your spouse look at you and say, curse God. Just curse Him. Speak against Him. Basically, blaspheme God. Go against the one that you've been supporting and just roll over and die. Can I say to you this morning, it's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's not time to get mad at God just because everything seems to be falling apart. It's not time to sit down and say, is it worth going any further? Might I say to you, other Christians may say to you, you're in a bad spot. But let me say this, God's got you right where He wants you. And God was taking Job down a path that Job could not have imagined. He was taking him down a trail and going to show Job His goodness. For one solid year, Job's life was miserable. For a solid year. Job's friends were coming to him and they began to make accusations that you got sin in your life. Can I just say this to you this morning? Just because things happen to you don't mean you've got sin in your life. Just because maybe you're through a curveball in this life doesn't mean, Brother Johnny, that God is upset at you. It does not necessarily mean just because something tragic has happened to you and maybe your health is failing, maybe you've had an accident or maybe you've went in some direction or maybe something has came out of the blue. Let me say this to you. It does not necessarily mean that you're at odds with God. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse number 45, He says this, and I'm just going to give the end of the verse. He says, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, this morning, just because we're saved doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Just because we've been born again and we have a life of eternity with God in heaven, it does not mean that we're above the circumstances. It does not mean that we're above the problems of this life. It does not mean that our health is supernatural. Because I'm telling you this morning, just as it rains in Wilkes County and it rains on Ronda Tabernacle and rains on Big Boy's Garage and rains across the river, might I say to you, every drug house in Ronda, every alcoholic in Ronda, it rains on their house just as it rains here. Amen. And this morning, Job had a clear understanding of this. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter number 1, if you want to flip back there, that's all right. If you just want to hang loose in chapter 42, that's all right. But I want you to notice something in Job, chapter number 1 this morning. If I can get there, I'll get there before you. If not, I might let one of you read it. Hallelujah. Job, chapter number 1. And I want you to notice there in the end of the chapter in verses 20 through 22, the Bible says this is at the point that Job has lost his family. This is at the point that Job has lost all of his financial means. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Job chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Now, did y'all get that? Job's children have just been killed by a storm out of the wilderness. Job's flocks of sheep are gone. His herd of cattle are gone. His camels are gone. And the Bible said Job arises, he rents his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down on the ground and began to worship God. I don't know if you get that this morning or not, but that's a little deep. On Sunday morning, on the second Sunday morning of April of 2015, that's a little deep this morning. You see, Job had every right to get mad at God. You see, Job had every right to curse God. You see, Job had every right to be upset. Job had every right to go to God with a prayer list and say, God, if you love me, why my children die? God, if you cared about me, why am I going through this? But the Bible says that Job fell down and worshipped.
Amen.
I want to say this to you, and I say it out of love and respect. It's kind of hard to worship God when the world's falling apart if you don't worship Him when they're on the mountaintop. Did you get a hold of that this morning? If you want to be able to... I said this statement Wednesday night, and I told you Wednesday night's message wasn't designed for a Sunday morning, but praise God, we're going there this morning. But I want you to understand this with my heart being full and intent. If we can't worship God when everything's going right, we're sure not going to worship Him when everything's falling apart.
You're right. Amen.
And if we're not going to worship God because of His goodness and because of His mercy and because of His grace bestowing His salvation on sinners like you and I, we are definitely not going to fall on our face and get down before God and say, God, You're holy. And God, You're great. And God, You're good. In the midst of the storms and the trials, You're still a good God. And I'll serve You no matter what comes my way. I believe Job got down on his belly. I believe he got face first in the dirt. And he said, God, You're still holy. God, You're still good. God, You're still merciful. And God, even things fall apart, I know it's in Your hands, God. And I praise You because I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to lift my hands to heaven. Though the storm is raging, though the cattle are gone, and though the finances are gone, as God, You save me. God, You've carried me. And I'll worship You through the storms.
Amen.
Can I say to you right now, it's easy when everything in our life is going the way it's planned. It's easy when everything is thought out and we think of a timeline that lays before us to fall down and worship God. But my friend, can I tell you this morning, as there's great amount of integrity and the man named Job, there's a great amount of righteousness in this man named Job. And might I say to you, he wasn't halfway sold out to God. He wasn't a quarter way sold out to God. He wasn't even three quarters of the way sold out to God. He was 110% in full. I'll stay with God no matter what comes my way.
Amen.
And it was some powerful words that day when Job got down and worshiped. I don't know exactly what he said, but I believe he lifted up the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse number 21, and Job also said this, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Might I say to you this morning, you ain't going to carry nothing out of here. You get a hold of that. All that Job had, all the camels that he had, all of the land that he had, all of the outfits he had, all of that fine home that he had. I believe, Brother Ryan, he had the best chariots you could ride in. I believe, just to put it on our terms, I believe he had the best CD player, navigation system with the biggest chrome wheels. I believe he had the shiniest paint job that Benton Paint Supply did. I believe without a shadow of doubt he had that horse groomed up. And I believe when Job rode into town, they said, boy, he's got it going on. And you say, preacher, he didn't have chrome and all that. Well, I'm just trying to help you out this morning and put it in your mind. Job had everything he wanted. But you know what Job said? Just like our little baby will be born, Brother Troy, she don't come out with diamond rings on her hands. And she won't come out in the finest outfit that you can imagine put on her. But might I say to you, she'll come out as naked as God created Adam and Eve.
Amen.
And Brother Ryan, when she dies, or when I die, or when any of you die, it don't matter what we've got on. It don't matter what we've got on our hands. It don't matter the number of cars we own. It doesn't matter the amount of land that we have. It doesn't matter the amount of the supplies or the horses or the tractors or the four-wheelers or the guns. Because I'm going to say this. I have never, ever seen a deed put in a casket when somebody dies. Mark her down. The majority of the time, if a loved one dies, maybe it's their mother or maybe it's the father, when they have that casket open for the viewing, they may be a ring on that hand, they may be a watch on their hand, but before they bury them, the majority of the time, the family reaches in and takes those things out. Because I'm sure to report to you this morning, you're not taking anything here over to glory. Because I'm going to say this morning. That gold ring that's on your hand, those diamond earrings on your hands, if God can take a street and make it of gold, so pure that it's as transparent glass, why in the world would He want your corrupted materials over there? Job got down on his face. He began to worship in God. And he said, God, you know what's best. He said, God, you know what I need. He said, God, I didn't come in with any of this stuff. It was just blessings added along the way. And he said, God, you seen fit to take them back. And God, you seen fit that I didn't need them anymore. And God, I was undeserving of them to start with. And God, I was unappreciative of them to start with. And God, it's your place to give and take away. Can I say to you this morning, Dana, one of you made the sun come up today. Can I say to you this morning with full assurity, it wasn't any one of you that woke yourself up this morning. It wasn't any one of you that watched over yourself all night long. Amen. I mean, these people, bless their hearts, my poor mom and daddy, they went to them sleep apnea tests and they asked them, do you want to die? They, some of you right here, right now, you're that close to death when you're asleep and you don't even know it. But there's a God in heaven that keeps reaching down and beating your heart for you when you can't.
Amen.
There's a God in heaven that knows just how far you can get to it before He pushes the air out of your lungs and lets you suck it back in when you're asleep. And Job realized that. He said, none of this is mine anyways. Job got down and worshiped God. Chapter number 2, we see his health fail. In chapter number 3 and 4, we see his family and friends coming on the scene. You say, why in the world would they be family and friends? They knew the very intimate details of Job's life. They were close. I mean, they were friends, but they were as close as family. And they began to question Job and say, Job, maybe you did this. Job, maybe you done that. Job, maybe you acted this way. And Job, you may have done that. But I want you to go back to chapter number 42 and I want you to notice something. Job begins to pray for his friends. He quits worrying about himself. He quits worrying about his needs. He quits worrying about where he's at. And he begins to pray for his friends. Again, a statement I'll make this morning. If we can't pray for people when we're all right, we're sure not to pray for them when we're bad off. Did y'all get that? There's been two valuable points this morning. I hope you got them. And I'm going to give it one more time. If you can't worship God when everything's good, you'll not worship Him when you're in the bottom.
Amen.
And if you can't pray for your friends when everything's happy, you're sure not to pray for your friends when you're down and out.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
Amen. Job began to pray for his friends, and Job begins to lift them up, and all of a sudden, a year later, Job went through his life for a solid year. 41 chapters cover a year's time in the book of Job. Now, I know we think that these things are not true. I mean, we make a fictitious character, but let me say to you, Moses in the Word of God was a real man. And I'm going to be honest with you. If Moses was the pastor at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle this morning, half of you would have done packed up your stuff and left out of here.
That's right. Amen.
You say, why would you dare? Moses, I believe, was half crazy. Be honest with you. Well, Moses had a fiery temper anyways, Brother Chuck. How do you know that? He slayed an Egyptian.
Amen.
Covered him in the sand. Didn't think nothing of it.
Amen.
Went down the road and there was two Hebrews fighting. He said, you going to kill one of us? Moses, not only that, he chided with God. He'd argue. He didn't have a problem looking at the people and telling them, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and you're wrong. He had no problem doing that. And you know what? We don't want to do that. That will offend somebody.
You're right. Preach, 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 preach.
Job was as real as Moses. Job was as real as Joshua. Job was as real as Micah, Malachi, Habakkuk, and all those other prophets. He is as real as them.
Amen.
And you say, well, I'll have to see evidence. You got the Word of God. What furthermore do you need? Job had spent a year in his life mourning the loss of everything he had.
Yeah.
You know what I believe? I believe it was like when somebody's got the stomach flu. You know what happens to people when they got the stomach flu? There's a lot of people does this.
You're right.
You know what happens when a lot of people are down on their, might we say like this so everybody understands, they're down on their luck. There's a lot of people, Brother Troy, that kind of steer away. They don't want to get off on them. I believe when people seen Job out in public, they walked on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
I mean, this man's covered in one big old festered boil all over from head to feet. And for a solid year he had this, and he lost all his family. His friends have even turned against him. And his wife said, curse God and die. I don't know about you, but had I been Job, I'd have probably started sleeping in the other bedroom at home. Job didn't even have a wife that really cared about him. And his friends surely didn't care about him. Let me say this to you real quick. Choose wisely who your friends are.
Amen.
And we're going to deal with that maybe next week, but choose wisely who your friends are.
Amen.
But Job didn't have any good friends. And he gets down there in chapter number 42, and Job begins to cry out for them. Quit worrying about himself. You know, we're often too bad to say, poor me. You know where I've been? You know what I've been through?
Amen.
I mean, I've met people, Brother Ryan, you walk up. Maybe the first time I ever came to church, and this has happened. I say, good to have you. Now, your name is? And they give me their name. I say, well, I'm Brother Josh, pastor here. I'd say, how are you today? How's everything? Well, glory to God. They start 20 years ago. And tell me how awful their life has been all the way up. And I thought, Lord help. If it was that bad, I'd be on every type of antidepressant medicine. I'd be lucky if I hadn't been suicidal. I'd been lucky if I hadn't just went off the deep end or become alcoholic. But I'm going to say this to you. It rains on the just and the unjust. But you know what? I can smile and I can say God's still good.
Amen.
No matter how deep that valley was, no matter how wide it was, no matter how many thorns and thistles was down there on that creek that I was walking beside, there was a God in heaven walking every step with me.
Amen.
And He even looked over every now and then, Brother Odin, when I got to the place I couldn't lift my hands up. I got to the place that I couldn't walk anymore. He even reached down and just picked me up and carried me. You know what Job said there? Job said, I'm praying for my friends. All of a sudden, something happens there at Job chapter number 42. And I want to give this to you real quick, and then we're going to be going through the message real quick. The Bible says in verse number 12 of Job 42, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep." You know what? All of a sudden, he got blessed with double portions. Not only that, he had 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. You know what happened to Job's financial means? It got doubled. Did you get that? It got doubled. He went from a man bankrupt, lost everything, to all of a sudden, he doubled what he had.
Amen.
You say, "Well, bless God, preacher, that still don't replace what I had." Oh, it does, above and beyond measure.
Amen.
Oh, it goes a little deeper than replacing what you had. You see, Job at that time didn't look at God and say, "Well, God, what about what I had? God, what about all those other sheep I had? What about the camel? I originally had a camel that would run a 40 in 3 seconds. And now I got a camel doing 5. You know what God said and Job said? Job looked at him and said, "God, you know exactly what I need, exactly when I need it, and exactly how I need to get it." Job didn't say, "Well, the sheep I had was of a different bloodline." No, he said, "You know what?" He said, "God, it's all yours to give, and I'll just take what I get." Can I say this? You'll be a whole lot happier when you realize you're just blessed to get what you get and quit worrying about what you want, how you want it, how you desire. Just say, "God, I'll take what you give me."
Amen.
And God, I'll enjoy it. You know what happens there? On down in Job chapter 42, he gets his children. Job had 7 sons, 3 daughters. What'd he get, Robert? Go back. Back one page, brother. I'll get you there. What'd Job get right there?
Verse 12.
Verse number 12.
"So the Lord blessed the latter and the end of Job more than the beginning. We had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses."
That's pretty good, ain't it?
Yeah.
What did it say in verse 13?
"He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters."
Now, did y'all get that?
Amen.
He lost his children, but somehow the Lord went, "There they are." You say, "Well, that don't replace the ones I had." Can I say to you, every one of you that's had children, it's a gift of God. And God gives and God takes and God sees needs for those He calls early before why we don't understand. But God knows exactly what we need. And He went, "There's your 7 sons. There's your 3 daughters. Put your family back together." You know what I believe happened? I believe Job's life there at the end was a whole lot better.
Amen.
You say, "Where in the world are you going with this, preacher?" Let's look at the message this morning. We just had to get you there to preach. Now we got at least another hour of preaching. So y'all hang on. Don't put your Bibles up. Y'all hang on a minute. Notice what he says in verse number 15. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And the father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Notice what happens in verse 16. After this. After this. Can I just say something real quick to you this morning? This too shall pass.
Amen.
Did you get a hold of that? This too shall pass.
Amen.
I mean, Job's year was miserable. And after this, you know what happened? There is life beyond the storm.
Amen.
There is life beyond the valley. There is life beyond the darkness. There is life beyond the tragedy. There is life beyond the agony and the pain. There is life after this.
Amen.
You know what amazes me this morning? We talk about how bad it is. We talk about everything in the world and under the sun, the way the government is. But you know what blesses my heart? Is no matter how bad it is, there's an after this.
Hallelujah. Amen.
There is there's a storm, Troy. You may go to college day and everything fall apart. But guess what? There's an after this. There's an after this. You know what excites me this morning? There was a beginning to this message, and hallelujah, there's an end, and some of you will shout right there. But there's an after this church service.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing to know that there is an after? There is life beyond what we see. It may seem like the valley's too deep, but hallelujah, there's a place after it.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what excites me? Not only did Job lose all that he had, and he got it all back and restored twofold, but something happened after that.
Amen.
Boy, God was good right there, Brother Ryan, to bestow upon him all that he lost. He doubled his financial means. He doubled his servants. He had to have, because with that many, he had to double them. But he gave his children back. But guess what? God said, I ain't done right there. And God said, Brother Chuck, he said, it sure is good that I went ahead and give it to you. He said, but I ain't going to stop right there.
Hallelujah.
Some of y'all will get a hold of this about 6 o'clock night, Brother Minkie starts preaching.
Preaching,
he said, Job, he said, I'm going to give you something right here. He said, this is going to be an immediate fix. He said, because you've lost everything you have. He said, you've lost your children, and I know you're grieving it. And he said, your health's failed. He said, but I'm going to go ahead and touch you. He said, I'm going to give you all that and back double and give you more than you can count. He said, I'm going to give you children. He said, but I ain't going to stop there.
Amen.
No. Boy, that would have been a perfect ending. Some of you never got a hold of this till today. That would have been a perfect ending for Job to just get it back. The book could have stopped right there. But he said, I'm not done yet. He said, after this. He said, after I give it to you, he said, I'm going above and beyond what you ask.
Yeah.
Look how many years Job lived. Boy, Job could have got down. I know some of y'all, bless your hearts.
Bless.
Doctor gives you some bad news, and the first thing you do, you go home and you sit down. Well, I'm dying.
You're right.
I'm dying. Ain't none of you ain't dying.
Bless you.
I had an uncle live beside me. I was sure he was going to outlive me. Every time, I remember being a small child and trying to get him out. He said, I can't. I'm dying. And Mom and Dad knows I'm telling the truth. For I know of almost 20 years, the man was dying.
You're right.
Could you imagine spending 20 years of your life dying? You're afraid to do anything because you might die. I can't go to church. I'm dying. You say, well, preacher, you ain't been where I've been. See me after church. See me after church. You say, well, preacher, I'm getting old and feeble. Who said? Who said? You say, preacher, my health's falling. Who said? Did the doctor down at Winston tell you? Yeah, he told me. Well, guess what? God's still the great physician.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, they told me my life expectancy wasn't that long. Guess what? I got good news. If you're saved, you ain't never going to die.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Preacher, my health ain't what it used to be. Doctors told me I ain't going to be able to go a lot further. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, the Bible says we'll walk down a street of gold, so I don't know what you're
That's
taking
right.
on it.
That's right.
Right.
Tell him.
Right.
I mean, if you can get a hold of this morning, you say, oh, preacher, this situation's so bad. What did God say about it? What did God say about it? You know, I was sitting there. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I went to work Thursday morning. I've been to about every one of the doctor's appointments that Anna's been at. I want to be there and help her and encourage her. And I was at work Wednesday. I'll go ahead and tell you, Wednesday morning, I was expecting. She saw. I could have swore, I could have laid my life down on that she was going to doctor Wednesday morning. Brother Bill, I called her at 11 o'clock. I said, "What doctor say?" She said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I go tomorrow." And I said, "Oh, my bad. Well, I was just being the concerned husband." She said, "I go tomorrow." I said, "Okay." So Thursday morning rolled around, and I said, "I'm going to go into work. The guys are going to be doing this, and my manager ain't going to be there, and I need to make sure we do this stuff. We got new tools coming in. I got new design changes going on, and I need to be there to make sure these guys go in the right direction, because some of them can't read a blueprint. And praise God, you get somebody can't read a blueprint trying to build something, you get a mess."
Amen.
And I went in there. And I sent Anna a message. I knew she had to be there about 8:30. I sent her a message about 8:10. I said, "I'm praying." That's all I said. 9 o'clock, phone starts ringing. It says Anna. So I say, "Hey, how are everything?" "Oh gosh, it's her mama. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad. You need to get here." I thought, what's bad? I don't know. Her mama's crying. You hear Anna in the background crying. I thought, what happened? So I run out of the plant. I told her mom, I said, "I'll be there in 15 minutes. I run out of the plant. I tell the guys, I said, "Go back to what you was doing. Leave the new stuff alone." They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'll take care of it. Y'all be good. I'll see you sometime." Took off. And I got up there. Got talked to the doctor. He said, "There's a chance." Did you get that? There's a chance. There's a chance. How many times have you ever been, "There's a chance"? Life's a chance. You said, "Preacher, this is dealing with your little baby and what's going on." Let me say to you, we were told over a year ago we'd never have kids.
Amen.
I can vouch for that. My wife was devastated when that news. They said, "It's going to be hard if you ever do." And she was sitting there crying. And my heart was distraught. I thought, "God, what's going on? What's happening?" And something come all over me and thumped me right in the forehead, Brother Johnny.
Amen.
And said, "I give you what couldn't be give.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Can't I take care of it when nobody else can?"
Amen.
You see, that might not mean nothing to you, but I feel like running on that.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Take off.
You see, this morning what the doctor said couldn't be done, God said it can be done.
Amen.
What the doctor says there's a chance, God said, "Don't worry, I got it under control."
Amen.
You know what it would happen to us to make us a lot better? I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, God's got this."
That's right.
That's all I could say.
Amen.
Boy, her mama's upset. She done called her daddy, got him there. And boy, that was a prayer. But I couldn't even pray because God done said, "I got it."
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
You say, "What happened?" We went to that hospital that night, and I knew in my heart, I said, "Honey," I said, "I know there's a chance. And because of a chance, God gave me enough common sense to say, let's go to Winston if it happens." You know what God said? God said, "I got this."
Yeah.
"I got this."
Yeah, that's right.
"Don't worry about it."
Amen.
You said, "Preacher, I've been devastated." I'm going to tell you this. I never shed a tear.
Bless you.
You're just hard-hearted, preacher. You're not sincere. You're not humble. Oh, I am. But why am I going to dispute what the great Creator said He done had?
Right.
Amen.
Come what's may's, it's His to start with.
That's right.
Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, would it hurt?" Oh, absolutely. If something happened, it would be devastating. Absolutely. But I know who's got it, who's got it to give, and who's got it to take care of.
Amen.
You see, this morning, Job realized that. It'd do you some good, because I'm going to tell you, Brother Ryan, for my wife in that moment, she couldn't see after this. You see, some of you right now can't see after this. Can I tell you, after this, I'm with Jesus.
Amen.
After this, I'm with God Almighty.
Amen.
After this, I'm in a land of perfect day.
Amen.
And after this, there's worries. There's no more heartaches. There's no more sickness. There's no more dying. There's no more problems. After this, it's all better.
Amen.
You see, some of you this morning, you need an after this.
That's right.
You're in a place that's bad and low. And you're in a place where you don't see no hope. Maybe you look around church and say, oh, there ain't no hope. There is hope.
Amen.
You look around this morning, you may be discouraged. You need an after this. You see, because I'm going to tell you, after this, it gets a whole lot better.
Amen.
You see, this morning, you may be in the storm of your life. And you're fighting for everything you got. And you don't think you're ever going to get out of it. It may be a financial problem. I don't know. It may be a marital problem. I don't know. It may be a problem with your kids. I don't know. But can I tell you, this too shall pass and there'll be an after this.
Amen.
You see, this morning you just need to claim after this that it's one more step on the way.
That's right.
Let's look what happened to Job. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed my preaching this morning. I don't know if you have. And I know they taught me in Bible college, if you start enjoying your own preaching, you better watch out. But I've kind of enjoyed what God's given me today.
Amen.
Because I know this ain't forever, that life goes on. Amen. Notice what happened to Job. Job could have been easily discouraged, and all of a sudden God gives him everything. But God says, I'm not done there. God says, and after this lived Job 140 years. You know what Job got to do? Job got to see his sheep start multiplying.
Yep.
So what we don't realize, yeah, God gave him 6,000. Look real quickly. God gave him, let me get this right. He had 14,000 sheep. You know what those sheep started doing? They started multiplying.
Yep.
Follow me. God gave him 14,000, but it's natural for the sheep to multiply. God gave him, not only that, he gave him 6,000 camels. Guess what? The camels multiplied. And not only the camels multiply, the 1,000 yoke of oxen and the 1,000 she asses, guess what? They multiplied. So it started growing.
Yeah.
Even bigger. You see, we get stopped, well, God just doubled it. No, God doubled it and run it over and kept giving.
Yeah.
Because Job lived not only to see his children, but he saw his sons and his sons. He saw his grandkids and another set of sons. You know what? Even the four generations. Some of you think this morning, I'd love to see my grandkids. Some of you say, I'd even love to see my great-grandkids.
Yeah.
Guess what? Job got that. You know how Job got that?
Amen,
he stayed faithful to God.
Amen, brother.
If we can get a hold of that this morning, in the time of distress, in the time of the problems, if we could just realize there's an after this and say, God, this ain't took you by surprise. God, this ain't caught you off guard. God, this ain't developed without you knowing it. But just say, God, I worship you.
Amen.
You know I need the valley. Some of you Wednesday night looked at me funny when I told you I'm thankful for the valley. Brother Ryan made a statement after service. He said, you know, preacher, he said, it's down in the valley where everything grows.
That's right.
It's down in the valley where the lilies bloom.
Mm-hmm.
It's down in those valleys, Brother Chuck, you get fresh water. You see, this morning, it's in those valleys that we realize there's an after this. And that it's going to be all right. If we could just pull our hands back and let God work.
Amen, brother.
That's key.
Yeah.
Did y'all get that? If you can just take these right here and quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to think it better. Quit trying to make it better. And just say, God, there it is.
You're right.
It's yours to give. It's yours to take. Naked I came and naked I'm going to go. But God, I'm just going to enjoy your work.
Yep.
Amen.
I promise you, you'd be able to smile when I preached. I promise you, you'd be able to come to church and have a little pep in your step. You wouldn't come in defeated and down and out.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you, this ain't going to last. Disciples were on the sea and the storm rose. They panicked. They thought it was over. went woke Jesus up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" You know what Jesus said? He said, "Boys, I got this."
Yeah.
We said, "I got this." He said, "I'm the one that makes the wind blow." He said, "I'm the one that makes the clouds pour rain." He said, "I'm the one that makes the sun come up all these days." He said, "I'm." You ever thought about how God just keeps the earth spinning on that axis?
Amen.
I mean, we're just sitting out here in the middle of space. There's rocks all around us, but somehow this earth just keeps spinning. Goes right around the sun in orbit. You ever thought about that, Troy? Pretty amazing. And God says, "I got the worlds in my hand. Don't you think I can take care of you and your problem?
Amen.
And don't you think I can give you an after this?" Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Miss Jody comes this morning. Some of you here this morning, you need an after this. You need a moment right now in your life where you say, "After this." After this, because I'm going to tell you, life's going to go on past this storm. Life's going to carry right on. Work's going to carry on. Church is going to carry on. I mean, the Walmart's going to carry on. And some of you this morning, you can't see life after where you're at right now. But can I tell you, God can give you an after this. God can take care of the problem you got. Not only take care of it, He can go above and beyond what you ask. Job had an after this. Some of you right now, you're fighting for everything you've got. You say, "Preacher, why in the world do you feel that way?" I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't preach this for me. It helped me. But God didn't send this your way. He didn't send... Hallelujah. We didn't know nothing was wrong Wednesday night. God done reached down and wanted to help you. And God lined another one right up. He says, "You know what?" He said, "Why don't you just realize there's life beyond what you see? You may be down and out in the flesh. Doctors are telling you this." He said, "But after this life, you're going to live for all eternity."
Amen.
You see, some of this morning, some of you just need to step out and need to claim your after this. You need to stop worrying and fretting what surrounds you right now. You need to quit worrying about what the doctors are saying. You need to quit worrying about what the TV's saying. You need to quit worrying about what the government's saying. You just need to say, "God, I want an after this." Because I'm going to tell you this morning, some of you could leave here better today than you've been in many, many days if you realize that this ain't all that it is.